Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This can be found on page 1164 of your pew Bible. Paul greets the church of Philippi with great affection and joyful prayer, confirming their shared participation in the grace of Jesus Christ and their growth in righteousness and love. A reading from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, and for you all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
When I was in my early 20s, I had my life all figured out. Just kidding. At the wise age of 29 now, I know that no one really has their life figured out in their early 20s. But on paper, it seemed like everything was going great. I had landed a great job. I lived in a great area. I had so much things to look forward to. But on the inside, I was struggling. And there were a few reasons for that. One, the role that I had, I wasn't meeting expectations of my manager. And it was my first job, so it felt like it was the end of the world. I didn't have the best relationship with my manager. And so performance anxiety in the workplace started to bleed into my personal life. But if I could hone in on one of the biggest challenges that I was facing during that time, it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't doing great at work, but really deep down, it was that I was going through this alone. And in the culture around me, especially as a man, it seemed as though I was taught that I couldn't share the struggles that I was facing because I would risk rejection or that information would be used against me. And so I did what everyone does. You put on a happy face, you pretend that everything's fine. But deep down in that season of my life, I was struggling predominantly because I felt alone. Loneliness is a feeling that's not unique to my story from my early 20s. In fact, experts have recently called loneliness an epidemic, meaning that millions of people across demographics in the United States feel lonely. The U.S. Surgeon General put out an advisory on this issue last year in 2023, and in that advisory quoted a study that said that 1 in 2 adults feel loneliness. And that's a staggering statistic. That means half of all adults in the United States are experiencing loneliness. And it's kind of ironic because we've never been more connected, it seems, and yet we've never felt more lonely. Now, in the story I just shared with you about my experience with loneliness, I think it's important that I mention that I was a Christian at the time. So I went to church, I believed in God, I prayed. But regardless of all of that, it didn't make me immune to this lingering sense of loneliness that I was experiencing. And so maybe that's where some of you find yourselves today. We're all here sitting together in the pews, and you have people all around you. But maybe you, too, are feeling a sense of loneliness. Well, if loneliness is a problem that the modern world is dealing with right now, including many of us here today, how can God help bring the healing and connection that we need? A reminder that this morning we're continuing our series which is called Gratitude and the Generosity of God. And today we're going to focus on one thing. It's the solution to the loneliness epidemic, but it's also so much more. It's God's generous gift of spiritual friendship. When we accept the invitation of friendship with Christ and extend that friendship to others, it opens the door to relationships that can change our lives forever. And this morning, I want us to kind of rethink friendship maybe and challenge our own perceptions of what it means to have friends. And think of it in a way where it's elevated. It was designed by God. Spiritual friendship is designed by God for each one of us and rooted in something deeper than just ourselves or mutual people in our lives that we cross paths with. All of us are designed for and long for spiritual friendship. So where can we find it in a world where people are way too busy, where people are divided and understandably guarded at times towards one another? Let's begin this conversation by looking at the spiritual friendship that the Apostle Paul has with the church of Philippi. We begin in verse 3, where Paul writes, "I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." As I read this text, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking for the tone of Paul as he's writing this letter, and he seems to be doing pretty great. Like, he's using some really mushy, like, lovey language. His affection for the Philippian church is really sweet. You're laughing because you know where I'm going with this. But he's saying phrases like, "I thank God when I think about you," or "making my prayer with joy," or "partnership in the gospel." Now, maybe it's because I'm about to go on my honeymoon with my wife, Hannah, soon. But I'm picturing this is the type of language I would use if I was like sitting on a beach in Hawaii and writing on a postcard to my parents or something. But the punchline is this. Paul, he wasn't writing this letter from a beach in Hawaii. Many of you know, he was writing this letter while under Roman imprisonment. So let's put ourselves in that cell for a second, imagining Paul, confined and isolated, unsure if any given day was going to be his last, if his favor in the courts was going to turn for the worst. And on top of that, dealing with the shame that comes from being a prisoner. And yet Paul is finding joy and purpose in all of this as he's writing this letter. So what is this? What's going on here? How is Paul able to experience joy and purpose in the midst of a really dark and difficult situation? Well, Paul uses this phrase that I want to unpack for a moment here, partnership in the gospel, in verse 5. And it might sound like it's this impersonal, like corporate-y phrase, partnership. You may have been on a Zoom call at work this week. We welcome our partners to the meeting. It's not like that. It's actually way more close and rooted in friendship. The word partnership in this context, in the original Greek word, the word is koinonia. Can everyone say that with me? 1, 2, 3. Koinonia. The Greek word koinonia, it goes beyond two individuals simply just working together. Instead, it speaks to shared life, mutual connection, and spiritual care. Paul isn't merely saying, "Thanks for supporting my ministry financially and spiritually, subscribe to my newsletter." No, Paul is expressing this profound, almost sacred bond that he has with the Philippian church community. It's a partnership that reflects God's design for his people to be in true life-giving community. This call to partnership, to koinonia, to spiritual friendship, it isn't just for Paul and the Philippians. It's for all of us. God's design for us includes spiritual friendships that support us, strengthen us, and keep us anchored in our faith. And when we face trials or seasons of loneliness, like I described earlier, it's these relationships with God and others that carry us through these challenging times, like it carried Paul through his imprisonment. For me, I think of a friend and mentor of mine named Tim Herman, who embodies this kind of friendship. To pick up the story that I began with in my loneliness and struggling in the workforce, I connected with Tim, who became a spiritual mentor of mine. He invited me over to his house, and he would give me space to share what I was going through, and he would help me know that I'm not crazy, because I would keep asking him, am I going crazy? Like, this is really hard. And he listened. And then occasionally, he would speak life into me and point me back to Jesus. And it wasn't even this complicated. It wasn't this complicated thing. He would order Chinese food on Tuesday nights, and on my way, I'd pick it up, and then we'd share a meal together. And years later, those simple get-togethers have led to a lifelong bond with Tim. In fact, last year in 2023, he attended my seminary graduation where I received my Master of Divinity. And then a couple months ago, he read scripture at my wedding. So this is Tim. He represents for me what spiritual friendship is all about: mutual blessing and deep Christ-centered connection. So in our fast-paced, sometimes isolating world, God calls all of us to koinonia, to partnership in the gospel, or simply put, spiritual friendship. It's an invitation to live out God's love with each other, as the Philippians did with Paul, as Tim did with me. And so a question for all of us this morning: do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend that you can go to who really sees you and listens and gives you space to invite God into what you're going through? Now, spiritual friendship, it's obviously good for us. And as I mentioned earlier, that the report came out, unfortunately, while we know it's good for us, half of adults, and I'm sure this is true for students or kids as well, are dealing with isolation and loneliness. So how can we begin to cultivate spiritual friendship in our lives to help meet this need and live out our calling for Christ-centered connection? Well, let's go back into the text and look at Paul's relationship with the Philippian church further. And in these next three verses, a simple model for friendship will emerge that we can integrate into our own lives. So let's pick up the letter in verse 6 as Paul shares his deep affections for the Philippian church. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. These verses aren't just showing us Paul's affection for the Philippian church, which is very real and apparent in these words, but they're also a powerful model for how we can cultivate spiritual friendships in our lives. And it flows from two simple steps. We like to keep things simple here. Step one, we invite Jesus into the friendship. And simply put, this is going to sound super obvious, but I'm going to say it anyways. If you have a friendship and you invite Jesus into that friendship, you have the potential of a spiritual friendship. Spiritual friendship is grounded in something greater than ourselves. It's rooted in God and what he's doing in us and through us and in and through that other person. Paul's friendship with the Philippians, it isn't just about shared history. It's built on partnership in the gospel. And in verse 6, I can picture Paul writing this, but like wanting to cheer as well. Philippian church, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Paul celebrates that God is moving in their lives, working in their city, and drawing them closer together in the process. So another question to all of you: where does Jesus fit into your friendships? In a lot of my friendships, I'll be honest, I often want to keep things casual, keep it light, have fun. There's enough crazy things going on in the world. But when we center our relationships on Christ, they become much deeper and more life-giving. For instance, I have a friend named Chase who we've known for a few years, and he's a Christian, I'm a Christian. But I noticed that we had been busy and hadn't connected in a while, and that I had an opportunity to invite Jesus into that relationship and kind of turn it into a spiritual friendship. So I reached out to Chase and checked in, and we started a Bible study where we would kind of read a passage and text each other what we thought it meant, and kind of shared our what's going on in our lives. And through inviting Jesus into our friendship, it led not only to growing in our faith with Christ, but also in our relationship with one another. As we explored God's word together, it prompted different conversations about things that were happening in our lives. And now we're on each other's short list for helping move and all these different things that are going on in our lives. So if we want to cultivate spiritual friendships, then we can start with step one, which is inviting Jesus into the relationship and watch God transform it. Okay, what about step two? Step two is that it's more of a byproduct. When we invite Jesus into our relationships, Jesus gives us his grace and affection for that person, despite our differences. In verses 7 and 8, we see how this friendship is bubbling up, and we see these phrases like, I hold you in my heart. You are partakers with me of grace. I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul isn't just close to them on a personal level. He has Christ's own love for them. This is what makes spiritual friendship possible. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us grace and affection for one another that goes beyond our natural capacity, what we're capable of in our own strength. And yet we know that even with Jesus at the center, if you've tried to have friendships or relationships for 5 seconds, it can be difficult, right? We bring our past wounds, our insecurities, our fears of rejection. We bring all these things and sometimes very real divisions into these relationships. And these can make it challenging to love others with Christ's affection. But that's why we depend on God's grace in these friendships. Only he can help us see each other the way that he sees us, with compassion and understanding that cut through our differences. How do we pursue friendship when we have major differences? Well, one example that's really relevant to everyone right now is perhaps who you might be voting for in this election. Each one of us may hold strong convictions, and that's totally fine, but we're still called to invite Jesus into our relationships, especially with those who might have different beliefs than we do. The tension, we all feel it in our nation, especially during this election cycle, but I see that as an opportunity for Christians to rise up and be the ones that model love in our connections and relationships with one another, especially those who think differently than us. We are the ones, as Christians, who should be living with the most peace and confidence in the times we find ourselves in. Because no matter who is elected as president, we still ultimately serve and worship the creator of the universe, King Jesus. Pursuing spiritual friendship, it means we'll have to face these tough obstacles. And sometimes it can feel like the risks are too weighty and great for us. But when we trust in the work of Jesus and what he's doing in us and through us and in and through the people around us, he enables us to step out in faith and love, even when it's hard. Now, as powerful as human friendships are, I just talked about how they can be messy and fragile. But this is where we find our ultimate hope. The friendship that never fails us, our unbreakable friendship with Jesus. Paul concludes his greeting to the Philippians with a prayer that starts in verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. There's a lot to say about these verses, but simply put, all the things that we long and hope for in friendship are on full display here. Love, wisdom, discernment, purity, compassion. But unfortunately, in human relationships, we fall short, right? We're selfish, we sin, myself included. But all of these things that are described in this passage, Paul highlights that in verse 11, they're all found perfectly in Jesus. Even when we feel alone, Jesus offers us a friendship that is constant and unfailing. The beauty of this relationship is that it doesn't depend on what we do or what we bring to the table. It rests entirely on what Jesus has already done for us. And Paul makes that clear in the rest of his letter, essentially saying that we don't have to earn Jesus's love. It's a gift freely given, available through faith alone. Back when I was working in finance, I would spend my commutes praying and pouring out my heart to Jesus. He was with me in a way that no human friend could be. Jesus knew me fully. He loved me completely. And he offered me a friendship that went beyond listening. He transformed my heart, addressing my flaws, and he filled the empty spaces and places in my life with his grace. And the truth is, Jesus offers this kind friendship to each one of us. I know it might sound too simplistic to think of Jesus as your best friend. However, if you want to imagine the best friend that you have that comes to mind, I don't want to play the comparison game, but I'm going to play the comparison game. Consider this for a second. When was the last time a friend was willing to die for you? In John 15, verse 13, Jesus has gathered his disciples together. He's preparing to lay his life down for his friends. And he says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And then two verses later, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends." As Jesus's followers, we are invited to this deep friendship. God wants to be our guide, our comforter, the one who stands with us, even when everyone else might leave. And embracing this friendship with Jesus can be truly life-changing. So here's a question to consider. Have you accepted Jesus's invitation to walk with him as friend? This morning's text reveals that we are called to spiritual connection. If you're seeking deeper relationships here at Stanwich and you're an adult in this church, consider joining a life group. We have groups for men, women, young adults, parents, and more. And each space is set up for us to grow in our faith, but also in spiritual friendship with one another. And for students here today, normally, if I'm preaching or Lauren are preaching, we're up here, but typically we're downstairs in the student space. Students, if you want to grow in connection with other friends to come alongside you, join us for a Sunday student service or join us on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. here at the church for small groups where we don't just talk about Jesus, but we also do life together. And whether you found that connection with others that you're still searching for or you haven't, take heart in this. When sin separated us from God, our friend Jesus made a way to restore our relationship with him. And now we have the privilege to call Jesus our Savior and friend. We've all been hurt before, and it's often easier to stay guarded, to retreat into isolation. But the good news is that through Jesus, we can experience healing and reconciliation, first with God and then with one another. As Paul reminds us, we are partakers in his grace, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.